today we're going to be challenged in that place when it comes to praise and worship. This month is about praise and worship. To praise and worship our Lord for what he has done. And I just want to, I was a bit emotional this morning about this message because there's a lot in it. I believe you're going to be challenged in it. And I'm hoping that you'll take some sort of notes in your thinking or your mind about what you see and what you hear and what you understand from today's message. One of the biggest outcomes would be we need to know it's not about us. It's about Jesus. The trouble is the world we live in is so individual that we make everything about us. And we need to move from that place to see our Lord and hold him up. So I'm going to lead us into prayer as I lead us into today's message. Lord Jesus, you ask us to walk and follow in your footsteps. We also know we have an enemy that wants to bring us down. At a greater level, we need to understand the spiritual battle that's taking place. We don't talk about it too much. Certainly in the world around us, we don't talk too much about a spiritual battle. But in the church, in your Bible, in your words, there's very much a spiritual battle from beginning all the way through. So I pray this morning, Lord, that we will get a greater understanding of the spiritual battle that's taking place and a greater understanding of what you're requiring from us in this spiritual battle. So please speak through me, Holy Spirit. Speak through me and may our hearts be ready to receive what you have for us. And may our ears be attentive to what you're saying. And may we carry your light at a greater intensity because we know the spiritual battle is very strong and we're in it. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. As I said, this month is about praise and worship. But today's title, In Praise and Worship, is Satan Overcome. Satan Overcome. Does that excite you?
Yes.
Okay, good. If Satan wasn't overcome, where would we be? Most miserable. It brings us hope, doesn't it? Satan Overcome. But we need to see what that means, Satan overcome. We need to understand what's taking place here. So we all come in some sort of praise and worship. There's a place where we're praising, and worship. It comes in all different forms and thinking. We're going to look at a greater level on this. But just the thought that I brought to you that Satan is overcome, does that instill or bring some praise or worship in you? Or is it just something that you know? So let's look as we dive deeper. We're looking at Luke 10. Some of you will say, oh, we've heard this a few weeks. Well, we looked at Matthew 10 and Luke 9 talks about Jesus sending the 12 disciples out. Now we find almost the same sort of wording, but in Luke 10, but we have a greater number. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others. So initially he sends out the 12 disciples. Now he's sending 72 out. What's he requiring of them? Similar to what we read of the 12. He sent them out to by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was to go. So what's he doing? Sending them out in twos to the towns and villages that he is about to go to. So he's preparing the way, right? Sending the envoy or the ones going before, hey, look, Jesus is coming to this town. Remember, and this is really important, these are Jewish towns, not Gentiles. Who's a Gentile? We're Gentile. These are Jewish towns. He's going to the Jewish towns to say the kingdom of God has arrived. How does he do that? He's sending them out in twos to come and start talking about Jesus. He'll be arriving soon. Do you accept him or not? So that's what's taking place. He's going to every town. Then in verse 2, he told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go. I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves. Who likes the idea of that? Lambs among the wolves. Remember, Jesus is sending them out as lambs among the wolves. There's danger for them. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals and do not greet anyone on the road. We're hearing this. Remember, he said this for the 12. He's now doing the same for the 72. And when you enter a house, first say peace to this house. If someone who promotes peace is there, your peace will rest on them. Wonderful. If not, it will return to you. Not so good. Stay there, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is offered to you. Now listen to this part. Heal the sick who are there and tell them the kingdom of God has come near you. Signs and wonders are now going with these disciples, preparing for Jesus to arrive. But when you enter a town and are not welcomed, go into the streets and say, even the dust of your town we wipe from our feet as a warning to you. Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God has come near. Hear the warnings, hear the excitement of good things by blessings, by receiving Jesus. Hear the struggle by those rejecting. Remember, this is talking about the Messiah coming. These are Jewish people who should be excited about a Messiah coming, accepted or rejected. But the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. Ooh, judgment is sitting there now a bit more. Then he says, woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida, for if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. Tyre and Sidon are Lebanon today, just for your information. But it would be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be lifted to the heavens? No, you will go down to Hades. These are tough words. Now, where is this? I'd like to give you a map so you've got an understanding of where he's talking about. This is the Sea of Galilee in the northern part of Israel. If you look closely, you'll see Capernaum, Chorazin, and Bethsaida. What's significant about those places? Jesus performed most of his miracles in those towns. Jesus had profound miracles, healings, dealing with the demonic, dealing with so many things happening in those towns. And yet, as the kingdom of God had come to those towns through the healings, through the work done, they still rejected him as Messiah. They still rejected him. Some accepted him, but many rejected him. And so now we have this place where Jesus says those words, you know, judgment is coming upon you all. Can I just say something here? I've been to these towns. I've been to Capernaum. I've been to Chorazin. And Bethsaida's a bit harder to get to. I've been to all of them. They are prime real estate at the Sea of Galilee. Capernaum is prime real estate. If I had lots of money, I would build resorts right on these places, right? Just down the road is Tiberias with 100,000 and 150,000 people. Not that beautiful, but okay. But Capernaum, right on the water's edge, still is ruins. Chorazin is ruins. Bethsaida, they had even trouble trying to figure out where it was, and it's ruins. Isn't it interesting that 2,000 years later, after Jesus was there, prime real estate still has not been, you know, built on or used or anything like that? Because Jesus had said already from this time, it's over for these towns. You saw the miraculous. You saw the hand of God, and yet you rejected it. This is a spiritual battle that's taking place. And then he says to them, whoever listens to you listens to me. Whoever rejects you rejects me, but whoever rejects me rejects him who sent me. The 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. Isn't it interesting that they're not saying, they're coming back saying, oh, we healed people of leprosy, we healed people of, you know, those who couldn't walk, those who were blind. Not saying that didn't happen, but there was something taking place. The 72 returned, Lord, even the demons submit to your name. An authority that Jesus carries. This is why it's talking about a spiritual battle taking place. Even the demons submit to you. Then Jesus' response is this. He replied, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. That's Jesus' response. You have authority over the demonic, the spirits, because we had authority, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, had authority for Satan to leave heaven. Now, Jesus says, I've given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions, to overcome all the powers of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Amen. Don't rejoice that the spirits, the demonic, submits to you, but rejoice that your name is written in the book of heaven. Jesus is saying this for a very particular reason. And we're going to look at that in a moment. But then at that time, Jesus, full of joy. I'd love to see Jesus full of joy. Through the Holy Spirit saying, I praise you. He's going into praise now. Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you are pleased to do. Simple faith. Keep it real. He replied, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I'm going to spend a little bit of time on this. I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. We find two references in Old Testament to coming through this. So we're going to look at Isaiah 14:12. It says, how you have fallen from heaven, morning star, son of the dawn. You have been cast down to the earth. You who once laid low the nations. See this? Satan has power. You said in your heart, I will ascend to the heavens. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. What's happening here? Sorry? Pride. Very good. Getting to my punchline, but that's all right. Getting there. See what's happening? Satan has set himself up. Setting himself up. Can I ask you, I'm just going to ask you simply, what's today's depiction of what Satan looks like? Red horns and what? Trident and like this? Okay. Is that what today's depiction is? Yeah? Some of you may have a little bit different thinking. Is it a bit warm in here? Do you guys need it? Are you too warm? All right. Andrew, can you just turn it down a little bit? I don't want people falling asleep, right? Okay, this is what we see. Some of you may even see a depiction and go, well, he's a bit more like ugly and sort of this sort of depiction. And some of you may go, oh, that's even more horrible. I'm only putting there for a second because we don't want to see too much of that, do we? But who thinks it's more like Jesus, is Satan is more like that sort of, yeah? Okay. I want to bring your thinking into what we actually do have from Scripture. In Ezekiel 28:12, this might change some of your thinking as you process this. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. You were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone adorned you, carnelian, chrysolite, and emerald, topaz, onyx, and jasper, lapis lazuli, if you look at that, it's a really beautiful blue stone, turquoise, and beryl. Your settings and mountings were made of gold. On the day you were created, they were prepared. Just sit in that for a moment. This is a depiction of Satan. You know, the imagery you have of dark and evil and horns and other things like that. This is straight from Old Testament scripture. What would he look like? It says here, perfect in beauty, full of wisdom, seal of perfection. It says here, all these beautiful stones, settings, mounts of gold on the day that you were created, they were prepared. Then it says, you were anointed as a guardian cherub. You know what a cherub is? Like an angel with wings. At a guardian one, set up, set apart. For so I ordained you. God set him up as beautiful, amazing, full of wisdom. You walked among the fiery stones. You were blameless in your ways from the day you were created till wickedness was found in you. That's the beauty of God in this. He creates, but he also gives the free will choice. You and I have the same, that free will choice to make decisions. When wickedness was found in you, through your widespread trade, you were filled with violence and you sinned. So I drove you in disgrace from the mountain of God and I expelled you guardian cherub from among the fiery stones. Your heart became proud on account of your beauty, and you corrupted your wisdom because of your splendor. So I threw you to the earth. Can you see what's happening here? See how our perceptions take on, an understanding, or today cultural views. We see, this picture of Satan being ugly, horrible, black, dark, evil. I don't doubt that the demonic realm is like that. But something about Satan in his creation, how God set him up as a protector. I don't know what he looked like, but maybe it was a bit more like this. Maybe. We don't know. But see, the perception is totally different. But Jesus said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I saw Satan falling like lightning from heaven. How do we put this together when we see Jesus with his disciples? We so limit Jesus as being born human and dying and rising again. But we so quickly forget Jesus was there from the beginning. How do we know this? In John 17, we read this. I've brought you glory on earth. Jesus praying to God the Father. I brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. Jesus again referencing, he's always been. And if you look at the Greek language, it's not the world began, it's from the beginning. In other words, even before the world, like he's always been. Our theology is Jesus never created, always been. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, always together. So therefore, Jesus was there when he saw Satan fall from heaven to earth. So what was Satan's downfall? Pride. Pride. He was beautiful. He was powerful. He was wise. In the angelic realm, he was given great authority. But his pride was to be or want to be like God and set himself up. It says, your heart became proud on account of your beauty, and you corrupted your wisdom because of your splendor. So I threw you to the earth. How easy it is for us to be the same. To have pride, to think that we're better than others, to have a place where we want to be beautiful and make others look at us in our wisdom, in our looks, in our money, in our finances, in our power, you name it. There's a place where something will give us pride. And pride is so dangerous. And so we need to be in this place to understand that pride can be such a downfall for us, because pride leads to self-righteousness and makes us better than others. In 1 Peter 5, 6, we read these words, humble yourselves. Straight out, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. In other words, not lifting yourself up. Humble yourselves that God may raise you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. But be alert and of sober mind. keep yourself humble, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, Satan, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. He's looking to devour you when you're distracted, when you have pride. Why does it lead with this? Humble yourself. Humble yourself is the context. Humble yourself. Cast your anxieties on him, all your fears. Give them to the Lord. Because be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil's prowling like a roaring lion ready to devour. Resist him. Stand firm in the faith. Because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. Last night we heard from Greg. We heard that many of the believers in the country that he's at are persecuted, are challenged. Leaders are often put into jail or into a place of holding for a couple of weeks. We have to keep our eyes fixed firmly and understand that there's a spiritual battle taking place. Certainly can't be pride. We cannot have that pride. We need to keep our eyes firmly focused and be of sober mind, clear thinking. So how do we do that? How do we keep that clear thinking? The best way to overcome Satan is by praise and worship. Praise and worship is the best way. How does that work? Well, praise and worship is not centered on me. Unless you want people to praise and worship you. I'm talking about genuine praise and worship of the Lord. Why? It's not about you. As soon as you praise something or worship something or go to a place and see it as bigger than yourself, then your pride, it goes away very quickly because you're now seeing something outside yourself. We need to be in a place of praise and worship, to have a place where we see God is greater than ourselves, what Jesus has done is greater than ourselves, that the spiritual battle is taking place and we need help. Praise and worship isn't defined by a musical experience. Amen. We got a few amens on that one. I'm guilty of this. I'm so guilty that we'll call worship our song singing time. That is not what worship is. It's a part of worship, but it's not what worship is. It's not a musical experience. Praise and worship is in prayer. Praise and worship is in those moments where you're just calling out to God and seeing, going around in his creation, being in that place where you're reading the word, where you're defining who you are by who he is. Amen. Not about what you've done. It's not about ego. It's about using your gifts the best way that you can for the Lord. And that can come in all different ways. So hear it right here. And I'm speaking it out. It's not about a musical experience, although music is a wonderful way to worship. It's not the only way. Praise and worship doesn't start and stop. It should be a continuum in you. It should be a joy in your heart. It should be a joy that you know and acknowledge in your journey, your daily walk. Praise and worship doesn't stop and start. It should be just there all the time. Praise and worship is about God's presence. God's presence. Praise and worship should be knowing that God is with us, that his spirit is with us, that we can worship the Lord because he is with us. Jesus died and rose again. He's sitting on the throne. His presence is with us. Holy Spirit, I give to you. And praise and worship will never end. We all have been given a free will. And what we do with our free will is our choice. To praise and worship the Lord with our free will is our choice. Satan was given free will choice in heaven, and he chose to go the way of pride, and he lost his position. And ever since then, he's been out to destroy us, to destroy us from praising and worshiping our Lord and our God. His whole role is to deceive. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. His whole role is to destroy us. But an incredible act of humility by Jesus has overcome Satan. See the opposite? Jesus, who once was in the glory of heaven with the Lord, came to us, humbled himself, lowly, poor, simple, had nothing to his name. In an act of incredible humility, the opposite to Satan's pride, overcome Satan. Amen. We got a bit of excitement, a little bit, maybe. This should be woohoo excitement. This should be us going, wow, this is what we're praising. This is what we're worshiping. See the opposite? The opposite, humility. He humbled himself. We heard it in his prayer just earlier. Please, Lord, glorify them now so that I may have once again the glory I had in heaven. He had to go through this humility, this place on the cross to die, to overcome Satan so that you and I are set free. Amen. Now, however, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Amen? Your names are written in heaven. Do not rejoice because you think that you are special. Rejoice that Jesus loves you so much, that he's willing to humble himself to the point where he has come to set you free. And now in that place, what Jesus has done, and now in that place, we should praise and worship with no restrictions, no holding back, and not about our own pride, but all about Jesus. Amen. So walk in his footsteps. Learn from how Jesus led. Live that place where you can praise and worship and lead others in that place of praise and worship. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for what you have done. Thank you for how you have overcome the enemy. And in the spiritual battles that we fight, and the spiritual battle that attacks us, and the way Satan tempts us, and the way Satan wants to destroy us, Lord Jesus, please protect us from pride. Protect us from thinking that we've done anything ourselves. Protect us from all of this. and set our hearts at rest and a new freedom with you. May we worship you as our King and our Lord. May we humble ourselves as you humbled yourself. May we be in such a way that we can truly praise and worship you in spirit and in truth. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.